you know, since we've been doing this, I'm just going to give Matt a heads up. Since we've been doing this, I've tried to stand a little still. But then I watched online when we were homesick and having to stay there, that older Pat. Now, why can't I remember his name? Yeah, that's it. You know, he was all over the place. I said, that's it. I'm done standing still. I mean, he was up here, down there, and Matt kept up with him. So I'll try to at least stay where you can catch me. John chapter 8, and let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, thank you for being able to come back into your house. Lord, we just sung this morning about standing on the promises, and one of the things that we hold dear is the fact that, Lord, there are better things coming. And Lord, although we can be excited about things like, you know, new life coming into this world, we can also celebrate the fact that that there is something better, and that is the day that we go home to be with you, or you come again. And Lord, I tell you what, and the way our country is right now, that would be a welcoming event. And Lord, in your time, that will happen. And I just thank you, Lord, for the promises in the Bible. And I pray you'd help us, Lord. It's a good thing to stop for just a moment and think about what we're doing. And Lord, kind of clear out the week. Lord, no doubt everybody in this room at some point or the other has had to bow ahead this week and ask your forgiveness, and we do so again this morning. Certainly don't want to come lightly to the throne room, knowing that no sin can go past there. And Lord, I just pray you would forgive us. And Lord, that you'd also then help us. Lord, everybody in this room has something, Lord, that they're praying for or going through, and Lord, need help from the Bible and direction. They don't need to hear from me because I'm in the same line that they're in. I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would help us and that your presence would be here. Lord, why sometimes you think why you would have anything to do with us is mind-boggling, but it's because you love us, and I just want to thank you for that. And Lord, I'm glad you're better at keeping your promises than we are at keeping ours. Many times we've told you things and only to go back on them. Lord, I just pray this morning that we would just get something from the Word of God. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Now, I've read this verse many times before, and we're just going to use it as a jumping off spot this morning in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Verse 43, Jesus is addressing a group of people, and he says this, "Why do you not understand my speech?" So he's been talking to them, and they're not understanding what he's saying, and he asked a simple question. He says, why are you not understanding my speech, or why are you not understanding what I'm saying? And then he asks a question, and he's going to answer the question because he already knows the answer, why they can't understand it. And it's because of this. Says, even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. That's the reason why they didn't understand what he was saying, is because they were not of the same family that he was. So he goes on to say, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Now, as we just look at this just a little bit and jump off into the message, you have to understand that, like, my father, my actual biological father, I've never met. But he was half Indian. So my grandmother is 100% Indian. Now, you could question that when you look at me. I was born with red hair and freckles, but there's something about my skin that doesn't normally happen to somebody who's a redhead. I don't burn. You know, I mean, I just get as dark as can be. Now, my son Jonathan, who is a redhead, and Emily, they fry like crazy. You know, now when you look at my son Stephen this morning, I mean, he looks like he's adopted. You know, I mean, he's as, and we were out in the sun this week, he just kept getting darker and darker, and I said, man, they're going to ask for your green card. You keep getting any more darker than that. You know, and the reason being is there's something in his blood that came from his father, which is me, which came from my father, who I never met, and that's the fact that somewhere along the line, I have a 100% Indian grandmother, and it keeps showing up from time to time in the gene pool. You look at him, and you're like, why is he so dark? Kid don't have, Stephen's not going to have freckles. Now, Tiny has them, I have them. Stephen's not going to have freckles because it's evident that there's something in the genealogy. Same way when you and I are born, we were born sinners, okay? That was a blood thing, all right? That our attitude and the way we feel and the way we think, that was a blood thing passed on by our father, who was also a sinner, and passed on by his father, which was also a sinner. And the father of sin, of course, is the devil. And that's where we once were. We were once children of the devil, and in order to change that, we had to be adopted into God's family. Now, have you ever, you know, because he goes on to say this, he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Well, why are you going to do that? Because it's a genetic thing. It's a natural thing. It's natural for lost people to act like lost people. You should never be shocked when you see that, because they're just doing what comes natural to them. Now, it's not right. It is wrong. Okay, but that's why they're doing it. They're not going to understand spiritual things until they become born again, because they're of their father, the devil. Now, with that said, you know, how we get into God's family, we're adopted into God's family. So we know nothing. It's not a genetic thing. All right? Just like your children, they don't automatically know to do right. You have to teach them that. That little baby that Cage brought to church this morning, nobody's going to have to teach that little baby how to be bad. It's naturally going to do that. You want it to be good, you're going to have to teach it principles from the Word of God. Now, in Slippery Rock, we had a couple that adopted some kids from China. Now, it's really odd. Have you ever been in a situation, you see two Chinese kids, or they could be whatever nationality, have a different nationality, and you're looking at them, and in your mind, you're stereotyping that individual. You see them, it's no doubt physically they're Chinese. So when you say hi to them, what do you expect? You expect at least minimum an accent, correct? Because they're Chinese. You can tell. How do you know they're Chinese? You can tell by their physical features that they're Chinese. So you go to say hi to them, and it shocks you, because what you hear is perfect English. And it's weird. It's weird to see some. It's weird. You go to London, you can see a person from India who you are expecting to have minimum an Indian accent. And you say hi to them, and you realize, they got a French accent. That's not supposed to be the case when you look Indian, and it takes you back just for a second. Well, may I tell you something? That's the same thing about us. Okay? All right? When we get born again and adopted into God's family, you and I know nothing about being Christ-like at all. That's something that we're going to have to learn about Jesus. It does not come from genetics. There are some things that we can pass on to our kids that are genetics. You cannot pass on spirituality through genetics. You can't pass out through the knowledge of God through genetics. Because our genetics are sinful. There's nothing godly about them. And if a person is going to be Christ-like, or like their new father, we're going to have to learn what it's like to be a part of that new family. And we're going to have to watch our father and see what he does, because that's the only way we're going to learn it. It's not going to be through a genetic thing. Okay, so here's what you have. You can walk up to somebody, a human being, and what do we know about human beings? They are born sinners. So what do I expect out of a human being? I expect them to act like their father to death. But then when you run into one and they don't act like that, it takes you back a little bit, and then you understand there's something about that individual, because that individual's adopted. He has a different father. All right? So as we think about that this morning, I want us to go through, and I want us to look at some things that when we see our father, okay, and see how Jesus acted, and those are the things that we are supposed to then learn and duplicate in our lives. Because whether it's your, I mean, everybody's seen the classic picture of a dad doing something and there's a little kid right beside him doing the exact thing. I mean, it's a normal thing. Every dad in this room has caught their kids. You look over and they're doing exactly what you're doing. Maybe it's how you're sitting or maybe it's how you're standing. And may I tell you something? When we get saved and we're brought into the family of God, we're just little kids. And you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to look at our Heavenly Father. And wouldn't it be a very proud moment if God were to elbow an angel and say, hey, look at him. He wants to be just like Dad. But what do we know about being like our Heavenly Father? Especially when we've got another problem inside of us. We've got that genetic thing called a sin nature that pushes against it constantly. Well, I just want to take just a few moments this morning and just look at who our Father is. And if we could just learn these little qualities this morning, I think it would help us. If you would go to Luke chapter 9, if you would, Luke chapter 9 and verse 42, Luke chapter 9 and verse 41. And Jesus answering and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. So this young man, he had a problem. And you can actually, if you go to verse 38, and behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought the disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation. Let's go down to verse 42. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Now I didn't put these in any particular order. But when I was studying this out, I looked at that verse. And here's Jesus, and here's a man coming to him with an only child. No doubt that wording wasn't put in there accidentally. I mean, really, what does it matter that it was his only child, except for one thing. Jesus happens to be an only child. You know, and he sees this, and this father appeals to him and says, this is my only child. And a spirit takes him and destroys him. I took him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything about it. And then when Jesus saw it, as he's standing there, the child's coming up to him. And if you look what happens here, and as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down. I mean, right in front of Jesus, that devil took that young man. He's in that young man's body, and he threw that young man down to the ground. And what did Jesus do? What did our Father do? Okay, here's what he did. It says, and when he was yet coming, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. So you know what he did? He stood up that day and he said, you're not going to do that to him anymore. And may I tell you something? This is something that you and I need to learn. There is so much wickedness around us that is destroying people. And what you and I need to understand is that our Heavenly Father cares about that. He cared about the turmoil that was going on in this home and in this family, and he did something about it. Guys, if we're going to be like our dad, we cannot sit idly by as the world goes to hell. Because he didn't. You can't walk past broken homes and just say, well, that's too bad. You can't walk past somebody with an addiction and say, well, that's their own problem. You can't walk callously through this world and not feel the pain of the world around you if you're going to be like your dad. Because Jesus didn't do that. When Jesus saw that young man, it bothered him that guy's only son was caught in a situation he could do nothing about. And the only person in the room that could do something about it acted. And you know what I like about that verse? It says, can you imagine, there's a little boy, he's on the ground. People have made fun of him, even told, say maybe he's crazy, he's out of his mind, and he's laying on the ground, bloodied from what happened, and Jesus picks him up. You know what he did? He took him back to his dad, Greg. He said, here you go. He won't be picking on him anymore. Okay, now, do I advocate that we go out and start casting out? No. And if you ever did something like that, you better make sure you got the Spirit of God, because that could go like the sons of Sceva 100 ways. But I am telling you this. There are broken families and broken homes and broken people all over this world. And Satan is just running rampant in their lives. There are situations that we're around all the time where what we need to do is we need to intervene the way Jesus intervened. And no, I don't mean that about casting out devils, but you know what? We can bring hope to a broken family. We can. Do you know that you can run into somebody that has an addiction problem and you can bring hope to them? I mean, real, true, honest to goodness deliverance from the Word of God. No matter what the problem is. Do you know that a local church could actually take a broken child and return it back to their parent with the Word of God? You can actually do that. And how do I know how to respond when you see humanity hurting because of sin? How do I know how to act? I certainly didn't get it from my biological spiritual father, which is the devil, because he don't care. But then see, I got adopted into a new family, and as I watched my new father and how he acts and how he reacts and what he does something different. He cares. And then he gets involved. And then he acts on it and he makes a difference. And I tell you something, wouldn't it be good for God to look down from heaven and elbow an angel and say, there's Chris, acting like me. But when you look at that, does that not make you be proud of that family? Of a God that can do whatever he wants to do, but he took time? I mean, he stood up to that devil. He said, you get out of that kid right now. And I guarantee you he didn't come back to him again. Wouldn't you like to hear the conversation on a level that the devil heard? Can you imagine saying, look, if I catch you within 100 feet of this kid, all heaven's coming down. I don't know. I can guarantee you he didn't come back again. All right. I mean, immediately that problem was taken care of, and he returned that young man to his father. Take your Bible and go to John chapter 10, if you would. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And then I want you to go to verse, John chapter 10. Let me get there really quick. John chapter 10 and verse 11. John chapter 10. We can go to verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. See, these are, when it's talking about a hireling, it's talking about somebody that's not been adopted into God's family, because he's not acting like somebody from God's family. Seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and by the way, you'd be included in that. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, look at this, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Now, look at verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. So Jesus wanted to be like his Father, and his Father loved the world. So Jesus on this earth was acting like his Heavenly Father, which is God, and he laid down his life for the sheep. Now I'm watching my Heavenly Father, Jesus, I'm watching what he's doing. Now he went on to say he's going to lay it down, he's going to pick it back up again. But it was very clear when Jesus was on this planet. Jesus slept. Jesus worked. Jesus had he was a carpenter. He had things that he did. But no doubt you could tell he was about his Father's business. There's no way you can dissect that any different for you and I. No matter what you're doing or where you're at on this planet, if you're a child of God, you've got to be about his business. And do you know that because Jesus died for, do you know what makes Jesus proud of his kids here? As if we love what he loves. Well, guess what he loves? He loves the world. That's what's important to him, the world. So if we're going to be like our Father, oh, we've got to love the world too. And you have to understand something. There's no way you can do that without it costing you something. Serving God is always going to cost you something. It costs Jesus something, and it'll cost you and I something. But if we want to be like our Father, listen to what it said. It says, my Father loves me because I gave my life. Look what it, I mean, when I read that, I thought, man, therefore doth my Father love me because I laid down my life. Because he was acting like his father loved him. So here's Jesus, and I wanna be like him. Then I've got to then in turn say, understand, at the core of my life, there's one thing that I'm living for. One thing that Christians are, we are not put on this earth simply to just abide until the rapture. We are given a job, and that job is to love what Jesus loved. He's not here to pick up the little boy anymore. We are. He's not here to walk up and down the streets and preach. We are. He's not here to do that. He left that to us. Why? Because we're his kids. He didn't leave it to the world. He left it to us. He says, I'm going home where you're going to live. I'm going to home, my home, your home. I'm going home while I'm gone. This is what I want you to do because you're part of my family. When we begin to look at the way Jesus lived and acted, and remember, because we're adopted, the only way we're going to be like him is we got to learn of him. It's not a genetic thing. It's looking at him and wanting to be like him and wanting to please him and to make him happy. And we've got to study who he is. We got to study what he does. We got to watch how he reacts to people. Okay, let's go on just a little bit more. Go to John chapter 2, if you would, in verse 14. John chapter 2. In verse 14, John chapter 2, in verse 13, and Jesus, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, could you imagine as he was doing that, the disciples saying, what are you doing? He's over there and not saying anything. He just grabs a bunch of cords. He starts braiding them together, not saying anything. And now, now there might be somebody that knows, I don't think that there's any other place in Scripture where I see Jesus acting like this. Didn't do that very often. But it is something he did do. And then when there was an opportunity to stand up for right, he did it. And what he saw going on in that temple, it bothered him. If you look here, John chapter 2 and verse 14, and found in the temple, they were selling things in the temple. He made a small cord. He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Now remember, that we're just reading words, right? So you've got to add the action yourself. Because it's just words. Remember when you read something, you know, that Jesus said, how did he say it? Okay? How did he react? Because it's just words. And your mind, when he threw over the money changer, did he just walk up to the table and go, plop? You know, when he drove the cows out, did he say, come on, cows, get out of here? I'm telling you what, you knew there was an authority in that room at that moment. And he grabbed that cord, and he saw that, and he said, we can't have that. Not in my Father's house. And he began to drive that out. Okay? And it was very obvious what he was... Now, that's not something he did all the time. But he did do it. And may I tell you something, guys? We cannot... The thing that will destroy Christianity more than anything is when we get... When we become like our old family and we begin to tolerate sin in our lives. Because there needs to be somebody in the room that stands up for right and wrong out there. We can't let our kids grow up thinking that it's okay to have sex outside of marriage just as long as somebody doesn't get pregnant. Because it's not biblical. What's wrong is the immorality. Whether you have a baby or that doesn't matter. The act in and of itself is against the word of God, so it's wrong. We can't treat, they got pregnant. Well, if they were already doing things, that had already happened. We cannot accept that and be lax on sin because the world is. No, we can't do that because then we're going to end up like them. And we can't do that. it's uncomfortable. I guarantee you that was an uncomfortable moment for the disciples wondering what in the world just happened. They never seen him act like that before. You know? And he's saying, no, listen, you got to do it in love. But listen, there has to be a voice on this planet that says that's not the way Jesus would act. We can't do that because he doesn't do that. You can't act like your old father. You don't belong to him anymore. Your new father's different. Sin is sin. Now, there's so many of them, and it's very difficult in one message to start naming every single sin out there. But there has to be some time. I mean, do you ever get disgusted when you look at this world and what's happening? Men marrying men, women marrying women, people trying to figure out if they're guys or they're girls, and you say that doesn't affect. Oh, yeah, it's affecting the younger generation because nobody's standing up. I mean, they're getting lost in that mess. And you say, how's that happening? Because the counter voice is louder than our voice. Been a long time since somebody picked up a whip and said, hey, you're not going to listen to that, or you're not going to do that, or we don't do that. Why? Not because I said it, but because my father don't act like that. Amen. He doesn't do that. Right. And I can read another verse that says, be ye holy, for I am holy. When you study Jesus, what you're going to find out, he didn't sin. Well, you say, well, I can't attain that. I don't know. I've caught myself using that as a crutch. So if a pastor can do that, have you ever heard, well, I'm not perfect? What that is a weak attempt to justify our behavior and blame it on the fact that I was born that way, which is the very thing we don't like about the world that we live in. People going on saying, I can't help that because of my mom, or I can't help that because of how I... No, that's not an excuse, right? The bottom line is, you study your Heavenly Father... You study Jesus, and you're going to see pure holiness. And he says, Dave, I want you to act like me. I'm holy, so I want you to be holy. You know something else that when you look at Jesus was never mean to a sinner. Now you say, now wait a minute. He called the Pharisees vipers. Stiff-necked, whited sepulchers. You're a grave. No, I said this morning, I would say, Chris, you look nice, but inside there's nothing but dead man's bones. That would probably offend him. Right? But what you have to understand is that was the religious crowd. But when you look at somebody that was lost, a sinner, in fact, Jesus said he left 99. And in fact, I think I have it written down here. Luke chapter 5. Go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I think this is it. Luke chapter 5. And let's go down to verse 30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering and said unto them, "They that are whole need a physician, but they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now wait, let's look at that verse. He's saying that he's not come to call the righteous, because it's very difficult to talk to somebody who is self-righteous. They don't need God. It's not saying there's a group of people that aren't sinners out there, so they don't need his. That's not what it's saying. He's saying that I'm not going to waste my time on people who think they're self-righteous. I can't help them. They're not going to ever see the fact that they need that help. He said, I've come for the sinners. I've come for those that are sick and realize they're sick. I can't help you if you don't see that. That's not what I come. So may I tell you something? You'll never see Jesus ever being mean to a sinner. He didn't treat Zacchaeus mean. He didn't treat the woman at the well mean. He didn't make fun of the maniac of Gadara and say, "Oh, look at that crazy naked man on that island. Out of his mind. Look at how he's acting." He didn't do that. Never one time we ever seen your Heavenly Father being mean to somebody that's sick. That's not how he acted. He said, "I got the answer." He was kind. Now, he never changed his message. He never told the woman that was caught in adultery that what she was doing wasn't any big deal. He knew she was born that way. He had pity on her. Aren't you glad he had? May I tell you something? When Jesus Christ found you, wherever he found you, in a pew, at home, in a car, wherever the Holy Spirit started speaking to your heart, he did it because he felt sorry for you. Because you were stuck that way from birth. And he had pity on you, and I'm glad he did. And he came by and he knocked on your door because he could help you. And my Heavenly Father, you won't see him ever being, man, he preached against sin and he stood for holiness. But when he was talking to a sinner, he was kind to them. He wasn't weak. He didn't change his message. He wanted to know that somebody loved him and that he could help them. See, a sinner is not happy staying that way. Do you know why I got saved? Because Jesus Christ came by and talked to my heart and said, "Dave, you're going to go to hell. And I don't want you to do that. I can help you, but you got to let me." And then when I got saved, I became part of his family. Things he said, "I don't want Dave to be like that." And that's the way Jesus was. That's who he was. When he was doing that, I mean, they said, "Why are you sitting with sinners and publicans for? Why are you doing that?" Because that's who he was. Now, that's just a few things this morning. What if we were really to focus on that? I mean, what if we were to say, let's just take, because we know we can't, we're not like Jesus because it's passed on in our blood. I've got to study that, and I've got to learn of him, and I've got to watch how he acts, and I've got to go out this week, and I've got to do that. So what if we actually did that this week? We can no longer have a weak voice about sin. We can't do it. And yes, it makes people uncomfortable sometimes. It makes me uncomfortable sometimes when I get convicted. But may I tell you something? Man, I'm glad Jesus stepped in that room and said, "This is not okay." I'm glad he did that. If this next generation has any hope, The one that's in charge has got to be the one in the room that says, no, we cannot do that. Why can't we do that? Because our Father doesn't act like that. He doesn't do that. He's holy. He's righteous. The lines between right and wrong in churches today are so blurred, you need a microscope to find it. And then if it is preached on, it's not always received well because people don't, oh man, there he is telling me what to do. And then you hear this word legalism thrown around all the time. May I tell you something? Jesus did that because it needed to be done. And sometimes that needs to be done. So Jesus stood up against sin. You and I got to stand up against it. It's hard to stand up against sin if you and I are doing it. So guess what? We're going to have to look inside of here first and make sure we're where we're at, because there's no way in the world we're going to be able to lift up the banner of holiness out there, because you're going to get it thrown back in your face really fast. All right? If you're going to lift up the banner of holiness and say, hey, this is what Jesus would do and this is how he would live and this is wrong and this is wrong, we got to make sure we're living like him. Or it's coming back with both feet. All right? But if you're humble about it and you say, hey, Jesus, help me. Let me help you. He doesn't want you to live this way. This is wrong. Not because I say it, because he said, well, the world needs a good dose of that today. Good dose of God's people acting like their Father. The world also needs a good dose of us acting the way Jesus did when he saw that young man on the ground. We ought to be the ones, if we're going to preach against sin, we ought to be the first ones in the room to jump in and help those that are in it. Because that's what Jesus would do. Because Jesus forgave, you just watch him. What did he do on that cross? People, the very people he made, treating him so bad, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, forgive them. And here we are. We're watching Jesus' life through the Bible. Heard it a million times. I just sit and try to think about how bad he looked on that cross. The blood pouring down, flies on his lips, all alone. Doesn't say much from the cross. What he does say gets written down for all of eternity. And you hear him cry out, Father, forgive them. You think he said, Father, forgive them? No. I can hear him say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When the world steps on us, things happen and you get hurt, and how am I supposed to act? Well, just look at my dad. Act like him. That's all. Just act like him. How am I supposed to walk down this world? I don't know anything about being like Jesus. What? How do I react to this new family I got? Just act like him. Look at him and ask him to help you be like he is. And that's our problem. We don't do that. Okay, we want to write our own path. The safest thing that we can do is just be like him. He set us a perfect example. There's nothing that you can do. If you are like, you don't ever have to say, there are some habits I have that I don't want my kids having. There are some things that I have not gotten the victory over, and I don't want my kids doing that. But aren't you glad there's nothing in the life of Jesus Christ that he doesn't want you to duplicate? Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. There's not one thing in his life he doesn't want you to repeat. No, he wants you to be like him, including if the opportunity came and you had to lay your life down for him. Every bit of it, you can copy and you can duplicate what Jesus Christ did. And there's never a time. There's some things I don't want my kids. I want my kids to try to have an innocency of mine as long as they can. I know living in a wicked world, that's difficult to do. But as a Christian, one of the things that hurts me is the stuff that gets in your head when you're not paying attention. you know, there's a lot of things I don't want my kids to do that I did. But as we look at our example in Jesus Christ, there's nothing that he did that I would not want my kids to be exactly like that. Not one thing. So if you care about them and you love them, shouldn't it be natural for us to want to be like him? Well, maybe this week in your own Bible study, you can take some of these things and look at them and learn about who he was. And then as that's played out in your life, it will make a difference. You know, it's a whole lot easier. It's for a Christian to go home and look at the Bible and say, okay, God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, figure out what that means. I mean, look at it for yourself. You don't need me to tell you. Look at it for yourself. What does it mean to be holy? Well, you know, it involves how you talk, what you look like, the things that you do and the things that you don't do, the friends that you should have and the friends. I mean, the list is never ending. But just try to imagine what it would be like for Jesus to be right here on this planet and just simply be like him. Because Jesus said, you can't understand me because you're of your father, the devil. Well, how does he know that? How does he know they were of their father? Because they were acting like their father. That's how. Huh? You're of your father, the devil. How do you know that? Because you're acting like him. Just like him. He was a liar from the beginning, and you're a liar. Wouldn't you love for somebody to say, you're of your father, Jesus Christ? How do you know that? Because you act like him. You do the same things he did. You care about the same things he cared about. You're preaching the same thing he's preaching. That's how I know you're of your father. Wow, if we could just go and do that this week, the world could use a lot of people. If we claim he's our father, let that stick to you this week. Let that indictment be read over and over and over again. Why is he sitting down with those sinners? Why is he, think of all the questions they ask him. You could preach some messages. Why is he letting her touch him? Why is he doing that? Why is he saying this? Why is he doing that? Well, because he was acting like his father. You know, one of the last things he said, I have come to do the will of my father. Well, if God is your father, are you doing his will today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to act like you. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to really think about what it would be like to watch you every day. It's difficult because we just have words on a page. But to be present in your daily actions every single day and watch what you do. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be like you, to act like you, to treat others the way you treated them. Lord, because no doubt our world needs help. We talk about revival, we talk about the church, but a lot of the reasons why the world's in the shape that it's in is because we quit being like you. And we revert back to our old nature. I prayed this morning that you would help us as we read some of these things, that you'll let those things stick in our mind this week. And as we go about our life on this planet, help us to be like you. And Jesus, I want to thank you. I thank people on this earth for being a good example to me. But none of them deserve it the way you do. I want to thank you. Wherever my life leads me, I'm never alone. And I got the best dad I could ever have. The creator of the universe that loves me. And boy, do I want to be like you. A lot of obstacles, and I pray that you'd help us this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And we're off to Sunday school.